such an interesting story.
Yeah, that was a big bomb drop when she was like,
yeah,
genitalia mutilation. I was like, whoa! Hi, everyone. Welcome to the second season of the O Collective Just Like You podcast. We are Diana, Winksy, Simona, and Eden, and we love to talk about female intimate wellness. In this season, we interview females from different backgrounds, industries, and life aspirations on sex, intimacy, and relationships. We hope these stories can help you navigate your way through your intimate life and know that we're all just like you.
Our guest today is Denny. Denny is a global multi-hyphenate creator for Virtue Worldwide, the agency born from Vice. She's currently based in Bali. Today we talk about female genitalia mutilation, growing up Muslim wearing hijabs, and how she overcame shame to reclaim her power. She loves to raise conversations around sexual wellness on her platform so that everyone, especially women, can feel more connected to their body and achieve pleasure whenever and in any way they want.
Hi, Denny.
Hi, Denny.
Hi, Denny.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
We all look great, by the way.
Good. Good. We tried our best. Where were you before, actually? I thought somewhere in France or in Germany.
Sometimes I'm in France. Sometimes I'm in Berlin. Sometimes I'm in Singapore. Depends. So I travel to shoot videos and advertisings because I work in the ad agency side.
Did you try the toys out?
Yes, I've been trying it out by myself, with my partner, and it's been really amazing. It's like perfectly fit the part, like it's just and you can do it together or by yourself.
Yes.
Did you create it yourself? Do your own research?
So we had an entire girls group that we interviewed about what they liked and what they didn't like, and then we went to the factory, made a proposal based on what we got from the interviews.
Everything was handpicked through us. The colorway, its packaging is done through our lens of what we want as women, and thankfully it's been well received in the market. So describe your sexual self in three words.
I think it's probably playful, it's number one, and then explorative is number two, because I get bored so easily, and the third one is fluid.
Didi, where did you grow up and how did that impact your view of sex, masturbation, and intimacy?
I grew up in Indonesia, Jakarta, and my environment is very religious and very conservative. And as a young woman, we cannot really show our sexuality like that much. And also, actually, a few weeks ago, I just found out that my mom actually did a really small FGM procedure on me when I was a baby. Do you guys know FGM?
Oh,
it's very normal here. Female genitalia mutilation.
Oh, that.
Male circumcision.
She did that on you?
Wow.
Yeah, when I was a baby. I was working on this project for FGM survivors, and I read that this practice is very common in Indonesia, in Middle East, in Africa. And I just wonder, yeah, I should ask my mom, like, if I got that. And she's like, yeah, but it's nothing. The doctor just poke you, and there's just so little blood. And I'm like, what?
Oh, wow.
What?
Wow.
Do you think that affected you later on?
I was wondering about it because sometimes when I was having sex with my partner, I kind of feel like it's a bit hard to find my clit sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what's wrong with me? Like what's happening? And then I asked my mom. One of the reasons that they did FGM is to repress your sexual tendency and make sex less pleasurable for women. Mm-hmm. But
this is crazy.
Thankfully, I still I can still feel everything. It's just sometimes it's hard to find.
I was reading a very interesting scientific report about if people have less sensory feelings on their clitoris, they actually feel a lot more in other parts, like deeper vaginal stations. It could be A spot, G spot, O spot. Does that happen to you?
I think both vaginal and clitoral works for me. If the clitoral doesn't work and if she hides a bit, I put her in the other spot. So for me. Because that's why I love to like explore and try out everything, because if one way doesn't work, I will try the other way. Even if the whole vaginal stimulation doesn't work, maybe I could like try up here or try up here, as long as I feel good or my partner feels good. This kind of thing.
I'm so happy to hear that you didn't let that stop you from exploring like your pleasure.
Totally.
After that conversation with your mom, what was it like? Did you feel angry with her? Did you feel a little bit upset? How did the conversation end up?
At first, when I heard that, actually the room was spinning. I was like, what? Yeah. The fuck? Like, you know, I've been working on this project for a while and I've been reading about it, and turns out I'm one of them. I was like, what is this?
But thank God, so close.
Yeah. It's so close. Even like my sister also got it. So it's a normal thing here. It's very religious, a religious, outdated religious practice.
Are they opening up this conversation right now, though, in Indonesia?
Not really, but a lot of people are starting to not do that anymore because it's kind of outdated already. Mm-hmm. And thank God there's a range, right, of FGM. There are other procedures that way worse than mine. So I'm kind of relieved as well that I didn't get the scary ones. And maybe I was just like scratch on my vagina.
In Indonesia, do they also carry out different ones? All the female babies get the ones that you get? Or does that differ again?
Mostly it's the one that I get. Mostly it's just like to scratch the clit a bit, like to just cut the tip a bit. Oh. It's like male circumcision, but for female. Yeah. They just think that, oh, male got that and female should too. Because conversation around sex, masturbation, and intimacy is not that common here, feels very exciting for me in a way. My parents is very strict about religion, about everything. I wore hijab for 6 years before.
Oh, because my parents,
yeah, it's mandatory in my family. But then after I lived by myself, they said, and they finally understand, like, they cannot control me that way, you know?
No, definitely. Are they okay with that right now? They're pretty religious and pretty strict, yeah. Right? And then you, now you're your own self. Free, yeah. Independent woman, which is good. How do they look at that?
Totally. It's a long fight for sure. It's a long, mentally and physically heavy type of fight. But thank God I went through it. It shapes who I am right now. It's been really amazing so far. And that's why I want to use my experience to inspire young women, especially in Indonesia, to just own their sexuality and just believe in themselves, like whatever the society tells them to do and not to do, and just do whatever you want.
Yeah, I think this is super powerful for a lot of young women in Indonesia. So for them to get to the point where you are, there are probably obstacles in the way. Fear, the reaction of society or their parents. Maybe it's also not loving themselves enough yet to go into that direction. Do you have any insights or tips on to get where you are right now for those women?
I think it took me like 20 years to finally get into that point. I've been wanting to really show who I am since forever, but it's just hard because this is the kind of society that really cares about what other people think. Even like if we do something, my mother will say, what other people will say? Like, what if they ask me this? What if they ask me that? But at some point, when you reach a certain age, you just cannot continue living for other people. It's your life. You just have this one life, and why don't you just spend it as you want? I got this realization when I turned 25. I was like, oh shit, I'm starting to get old. I cannot do this anymore. I have to change.
In Asian culture and more conservative
society. That's kind of the thing that women all face. When the four of us came into the O Collective, it was very similar questioning from our parents. But in the end, we're at the age where we are independent women. There's nothing they can really do. And when they finally see the things that we're doing, they realize this is actually not as bad or dirty or naughty as they thought. For example, my dad was very concerned about what we were doing in the beginning, but then he saw the content we were sharing. It was very sexual education driven. It was very empowering for women in itself. And he then realized and called me to say, like, oh, I'm actually very supportive of what you're doing now, because I realize this is something that society needs to better on. And this is something that we've been shied away from, that if not now, then who knows when. So he was like, you should go back to school to even make your education stronger to help this category.
I have a question. Now that you're on this mission of trying to spread sexual wellness, positivity, and then independence, and then how you've regained your strength with your body, is that what got you into the media industry?
I was actually a fan of my company for a long time before, when I was younger. And I got this opportunity to work for them, and it just happened. And thank God that my vision and the vision of my company is aligned. We did a lot of pieces around sexual wellness.
With FICE, from what I see and what I read, they're very open about all topics in the world. Do you also think that that has shaped you in a way?
Totally, totally. I'm actually very grateful to work here, and I've been with FICE for almost 5 years now. I think it shapes the kind of person that I am right now as well, because I spent most of my 20s growing up at FICE and being surrounded with such open-minded and very welcoming people, and everyone is just super respectful towards each other, and it's such a safe space to work in. Even if you're very into kinks or sex or anything, basically, it's very encouraged to, like, oh yeah, just you do you, and anything that you like, just bring it on the table and we can create something out of it. It's very encouraged to do it. So it's been really fun to grow up here and work together here.
Yeah. Do you also see what the trends are when it comes to sexual intimacy? For instance, you opening up right now as well about your experiences. A couple of years ago, it was harder to do so.
Young generation right now, definitely, they're very open, and they are way less restricted with the rules compared to the generation before. So they're more outspoken about what they are feeling and their experiences. So I think in the future, the conversation around sex will be more common, but it's going to be independent creators who lead the conversation.
I want to go a little bit back to you. You just mentioned you do have a boyfriend. So you and your boyfriend, do you have a similar point of view on sex, or is it different from each other?
Thank God it's similar. If not, I wouldn't date him. I'm kind of seeing someone right now in Bali, and it's been pretty fun. 4 years younger than me. And
oh, nice.
He's very explorative, energetic in terms of sex and toys with kings and everything. So it's been a very fun ride so far.
Oh, right. Nice. Seems like there's a big trend of lots of women who are independent dating younger men or boys.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm definitely seeing a rising trend in that. And I love it. I love it. I love how they're switching the power dynamic.
You mentioned that he's more open and explorative and into kinks. Like, what kind of kinks you guys have liked and disliked or explored together?
Actually, this relationship is pretty new. So we've just been talking about it. We're thinking about, like, exploring pee play.
Like, where you pee on each other?
Talking about it, but haven't
tried. Oh, is it golden shower?
Do you want to pee on him, or he wants to pee on you?
I think he asked me to pee on him.
Nice.
Nice. Interesting.
No, I mean, like, this is not the first time somebody asked me to do it. So I'm like, okay.
Oh.
Okay, sure. But actually, years ago, when someone asked me for the first time, I was like, but then, like, oh, I like him, so I would do it anyways. It's fine.
I think it's nice to hang with somebody where you can explore your boundaries with, and who's not afraid to ask. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty good. We are considered old. We're all 30 plus, and I feel my generation, or at least here, there's still like, you know, a little bit of secrecy or feeling ashamed to say certain things. And I feel already with the generation after us that they're more open and more direct about what they want and what they desire when it comes to sex.
It feels very different, actually. I used to date someone who's my age or older, and the things that they're into is kind of similar. Always dumb sub type of thing, BDSM. But for the younger ones, it's more diverse. Like the kind of thing that they want to try is super exciting, I think.
Are they just less shy about sharing, like, oh, hey, I would love to have a golden shower from you? And not feeling judged.
I think it's also because the kind of person that I attracted, usually more artsy type of person. So maybe they're just different in a way. Generally, the younger generation are more open. And I think the discussion around sex is not as taboo anymore. So they're just like talking about, oh yeah, yesterday I tried this with my boyfriend and blah, blah, blah. And oh yeah, I did that as well. Maybe you should try this. Blah, blah, blah. So they're just discussing it. And it's a normal conversation and it's normal to try. The default is not our opposite sex. The default is just to try both.
I have a younger sister. And when I have a discussion with her about relationships or intimacy, where I grew up thinking, okay, boys and men, she's like, no, it's a person that I'm attracted to. If their personality or character is something I can vibe with, then there we go. There's no, oh, female or male. It's based on personality. It's based on how you're attracted to each other. And then from there you see. I think that's very liberating as well.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very beautiful.
What about for yourself, Denny? Have you dated anyone outside of the normal heterosexual relationship?
I haven't, but I'm very open with the idea because I'm attracted with a certain types of women as well, but I haven't found the right one yet.
What type of women? Elaborate.
Simona's like, is it me?
No, I'm very curious.
It's just like heteronormative relationship. If you like someone, if you vibe well, yeah, it just happens. But yeah, I haven't found the one, but we'll see. Maybe in Bali.
With the different generations that you have dated and then also the location switch that you've made, do you see any different views on sex toys or bringing it into a relationship?
Most of them are very open in trying out sex. Even in Indonesia, when I was posting like some of my sex toys, lots of men actually asked, where can I get it? How does it work? I want to buy it for my girlfriend. So I think men are actually very curious about it.
What do you think is the biggest misconception about women and sex?
That women doesn't feel as horny as men. I think that's really wrong. I wanted to create this t-shirt called Being Horny is Okay. And like, because I know that women feel horny the same way as men, but we cannot really show it as much as we do. And that's the biggest misconception about it.
Totally agree. Like, we actually made a TikTok video this week about why you should stop calling female nymphos if she is openly expressing that she enjoys sex. If you start framing those negative terms on people, then that's immediately shaming them into a place of like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be showing that I enjoy sex. But we enjoy it just as much as men. And women can even have not just one orgasm like most men can. We can have multiple orgasms, blended orgasms, all sorts of orgasms from all different spots. So we can keep on going and going and going. We can also be insatiable and that's completely okay. But it just takes time and it takes more people like you to just say, hey, I'm horny and I want sex and I want as much sex as possible until I'm satisfied. And that's completely fine. And you're not a nympho. You're completely fine. You're a well-respected, independent woman doing a dope-ass job and traveling across the world. Normal human being.
You know, actually, I saw on TikTok, Instagram, in Indonesia, even women who wear hijab are sharing sex tips after they got married. So they feel like they get the pass to talk about it after they got married. And it's very dirty. They're using all these innuendos. Sometimes it's very cringy, but I know what that means.
So women in Indonesia are pretty liberated in their conservative way, right? Like, they have their outlet to show.
Maybe after a certain milestone. Because if they're talking about it before marriage, people will think, oh, why are you talking about it? You shouldn't be doing that. Because you shouldn't be having sex before marriage. And then after they get married, they just like, where this? They have their own term. They're calling themselves solehot, soleha. So in Islam, if you are very religious, you will be called soleha. And they're calling themselves soleh hot. So it's like soleha and hot and sexy. Like, you're
witty. I'm sure leading through this entire conversation, how we're opening up, how you're opening up, but also hijabi women in Indonesia. Yeah. Love it. It's like another step again, just opening up about sex in general, even if it's after marriage.
Mm-hmm. And I think those kind of people also very open in playing with toys and trying out new things because they're actively finding new ways to please their husband.
Is it about pleasing their husband? Or is it also about pleasing themselves?
I think both. Maybe they don't really want to admit that they want to please themselves. It's just, it's for my husband, but also for me.
Yeah, I think another misconception is women don't masturbate as much as men. Maybe like percentage wise, it's not because it's not as socially acceptable from a cultural standpoint, but women do all the time. A lot, probably more.
I think all women should masturbate. That's the crazy thing. I would assume that everybody masturbates, but then I talk to some friends and then some of them are like, yeah, no, I never not masturbate. No, it's not my thing.
Actually, this brings me back to your question about what shapes me into the girl that I'm today. Revolution starts from the bedroom. I truly understand my body and I truly understand what I want and how can I make myself feel good. It's getting projected in my daily life as well.
It makes sense what you're saying, that you're exploring yourself in the bedroom. You feel more confident with yourself. You know what you want. And with your body.
That's also how
you bring it into work to your family because you're already that confident with yourself, right? You know what you want and what you like. I think that's also what a lot of girls are missing. Like, your expectations from society or from your parents or your mom are saying, no, this is not good or that's not good. So when you're young, you just internalize that and you think, okay, what they say, that must be true for me. But then at a later age, you start discovering yourself and you actually start to, oh, maybe this is not for me. And you become more self-confident about it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Thank you so much.
I feel the same. No, it starts in the bedroom. It starts with yourself, whether it's masturbation or meditation. It's just getting in tune with yourself. And then as long as you're in tune with yourself and you know what you want and what you like and you're staying true to yourself, then you're your own person in the outer world as well.
I love that you said revolution starts from the bedroom. That's such a great quote.
That's how we're going to call this podcast.
I have one more question. What is the one big lesson that you have, or one big insight or tip for girls like you out there?
If you want to frame it to talking to my younger self, is to be okay not to be the same as other people. You can just follow what you like and just you do you.
I think that people need to be reminded of that all the time, because when you're growing up and you're younger and you're so easily influenced by what's around you, of what you should do and what's right, or not even what's right, but what your friends tell you, you should always do what makes you happy, even if it's not popular. Because at the end of the day, like you said, you weren't able to find your true self and happiness until later in the last few years. And along the way, amazing blessings. It seems like a great travel life, a great career. And you've been able to do the things you've wanted to do because you've just chosen to be yourself and do the things you want to do. So you do you.
Thank you so much. It's been such a fun